welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, or as we like to call it, the world of Phil Henry. And what do you think of that?
That's fine. I don't know what's meant by that.
Yeah, it sounds like you're all like a big shot or something.
Well, maybe I am a big shot. Maybe in your world I'm a big shot, but that's what we're calling it.
Yeah, we'd call it the world of Bud Dickman.
You just said his world.
All right, well, it's my world now, okay? My world and...
Yeah, your world. We're just working here.
Right. The world of Phil Henry. we're going to be speaking with Bobby Dooley here, who has been very busy with a couple of things. She has the podcast that is appearing on our website, as well as SoundCloud, as well as the Sideshow Network, as well as, you know, we're approaching 300,000 downloads now of the Bobby Dooley podcast per month. And we also have another sort of Bobby presentation she's going to be doing. What?
Well, what are you... You're always saying I shouldn't belch, and you've been sitting there going... You know?
Yeah, you're all stuffing it, Mr. Henry, going...
Well, we don't have to bring that up now, do we?
Yes, but I notice, Phil, that you are constantly on Margaret's case about the fact that she erupts, that she lets one go. What are you looking at me for?
I just wanted to make sure you weren't spilling any Bartles and James or vanilla wafers.
Don't be such a smartass and address the situation of you belching.
You know what? No, I won't. I was fine. At least I'm not letting it rip like she does. Okay. And anyway, Bobby is going to be... Oh, look at everybody looking disappointed now.
Well, you should have addressed the situation.
That's what I feel.
Okay, well, I'm not going to address the situation.
Just like that. Boy, what a dictator. You know, you...
She said dictator.
So? What do you mean a dictator?
You know, you would have given Adolf Hitler a run for his money.
Hey.
Oh, well. What an obscene thing to say, considering what that man really did.
I'm being what I'm being, all right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes, that should be enough.
Fine. All right, so I won't even ask. Bobby Dooley is with us. She's going to be doing her own hour of presentational radio, beginning, I think, later on this week, here on the Phil Henry Show. And she's joining us now from the Western States Homeowners Association, where there has been an issue regarding... some sort of a cosmetic issue. Now, I understand, Ms. Dooley, that's important for you, as well as it is for members of the Homeowners Association there, to maintain a certain public image. Is that correct?
Well, yes. I don't think that comes as any surprise.
No, you're right about that. But the image that you guys want to maintain, the public image that you want to maintain, is one that extends to your residents. Are you outside?
We are. Right now we're overseeing the demolition of one of the security walls here in the back of the property, Phil. Is it disturbing?
No. I can tell. I can hear some heavy equipment. You're out there late, huh?
Well, this is going to be a 24/7 job because we want to make sure that this wall... What happened was we had a very unfortunate situation where one of the younger people, one of the younger residents ran through the wall, and he's all right, thank God, knock wood. But he ran through the wall in his father's BMW, Steve?
Yeah, BMW is Bill Bartenhard.
Bill Bartenhard and his son Ian.
So the boy's all right?
The boy's all right. I think when we ask the question, is the child all right, Yes, he's all right. But I think that there comes a time when you stop asking, is the child all right? And you start asking, well, what about a $80,000 car? What about, you know, a wall?
Well, but the $80,000 car can be replaced.
But there's a lesson to be learned.
I agree with Bobby. There is a lesson here. You know, and has the lesson been learned?
I don't know. I called and I spoke with Bill and I said, so how's it going? And he got very rude with me and said it was none of my business. And I said to him, Bill, we've been through this before. Yes, it is. I want to know what steps you've taken with that boy. And he hung the phone up on me. So we're having a council meeting on that tomorrow.
You know, I just think the way you run that homeowners association is very intrusive.
You know something, Margaret? I get it already. Your complaint has been lodged. I've heard it a million times. I'm going to do what I got to do. Okay?
Yeah, I'm going to do what we got to do. Maintain the HOA.
Exactly. To quote... you know, Jack Nicholson is Jimmy Hoffa. I'm going to do what I got to do to hold on to the HOA.
What is that?
It's a quote of it was Jack Nicholson as Jimmy Hoffa. It's one of the great film quotes of all time.
What did he say?
Do you want me to repeat it?
No, I don't. I want. What did he say?
Who, me?
No, Nicholson.
Nicholson didn't say it. Jimmy Hoffa said it.
Jack Nicholson as Jimmy Hoffa.
Oh, he said, I'm going to do what I got to do to get the union back.
Yes, that's exactly right. Danny DeVito directed it. I ran into Danny, by the way, the other day in Santa Monica. I don't know if I told you, Phil.
No, you didn't.
Well, I don't think I'm talking out of school, Danny, but he was hitting on Heidi Klum. I had seen her, and I was chatting with Heidi. And I said, so what are you going to do now? And what, you know, where do you see yourself fitting in out here? I said, you're tall, you're beautiful, but... And I said to her, I said, Heidi, I love you. You know I've always loved you, but you're essentially talentless.
You didn't say that to her.
Yes, I most certainly did. She appreciates it from me. I said, you don't have any real reason for being on this planet other than the fact that you've got those gorgeous legs, you know.
You're kidding, I don't, right?
Well, I was partially kidding. Anyway, Danny DeVito rolls in. I said, hi, Danny. I said, watch this, because I knew what he was going to do. He started hitting on her.
Wow, I mean, you got some pretty heavy friends there, Margaret.
Oh, yeah, where were you over at Bernie Gelson's?
Yes, I was coming out of the Gelson's there
Beverly Hills?
Yes, Beverly Hills, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think Danny, and I know Danny, Danny is Danny. He's always going to be Danny. He'll never be anything more than Danny.
Not at that size, he won't be.
Okay, funny. Can we get back to what we're talking about?
What are we talking about?
We're talking about the, whatever it was you're talking about.
Oh, the fake teeth, yeah.
Yes, can I just, as a way of leading in, who's the young lady?
She is one of our younger Circle of Taste gals. She's not in the Circle of Taste. If she was in the Circle of Taste, then we'd give her a flyer. But she is just a resident. I think she did apply to be a gal pal.
What is her name?
Look, you want me giving out names?
No, just the first name.
Oh, okay. Her name is Tina Fleishing Brown.
I said just the first...
Well, Phil, you said you wanted the name.
First name, I said.
First name!
Phil, I can't...
You know what? Maybe I should just do the show solo.
Okay, all right, honey. I mean, if you want to be a baby about it...
You understand. You want to be a baby.
So, in other words, you're going to take your football and you're going to go home. Is that the way that this game is going to be played, Mr. Henry?
No, I'm just asking you to please hear what it is you're asking me, and when I give you the answer, go, oh, that's right, that's what we did say to Phil, so...
Whatever, Phil, I don't know.
Yeah, just ignore him.
Yeah, ignore me.
Okay, well, here's what I'm saying. Tina Fleishing Brown is a gal pal, I believe, which is the first level of the four levels. Actually, there's three levels to become a member of the Circle of Taste.
Now, what are those levels?
Well, they are gal pal, hostess, and then runway model. And once you achieve runway model, you get the lower rocker panel on your pink button leather jacket.
The lower rocker panel?
Yes, oh, God.
Phil, you've seen the rocker panels.
Yeah, on like 1% or motorcycle clubs. Are you kidding?
I said we like the outlaw chic. Okay?
All right.
Where was I?
The runway model.
The runway model earns the lower rocker panel, and then, once she becomes a member of the Circle of Taste, she gets the upper rocker panel, and it says, the Circle of. So you only have of taste if you're a runway model, and that's been misinterpreted by a lot of guys. You know, when our runway models are out there, the guys go, ooh, what do you taste like? That kind of nonsense. But
all right. We'll get back here with Bobby Dooley in a moment.
Well, if you're bored, Phil, I can conduct the interview.
No, I want to get to the whole thing about her friend, so, Bud...
Yeah, I'll tell Ms. Dooley, you got to get to the whole thing about your friend. What? Hello? Hello? She put me on hold.
Yeah, okay. We'll be back with Bobby Dooley as we continue discussing with her the situation having to do... I believe the situation having to do with her, the girl there, the lady there, wearing those fake teeth, which are those, what is that company, Invisalign?
Well, Invisalign's one of them, yes.
and you put them up there. Okay. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here. Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley with us from the Western States Homeowners Association talking about a cosmetic problem. I don't know what you call it, Bobby, when you have a member of your organization, or she's a prospective member, a gal pal, and she is wearing cosmetic teeth. Now, this is not as bizarre as it sounds. This is a very common product.
Yeah, you can go down to the drugstore and everything, and you can put them on.
Well, that may well be true, whoever that was. That Bud Dickman?
Yeah.
All right. I don't know that I would use him as a sounding board for anything that's cosmetic, given the fact that his head is not a perfect round shape.
No one's head is, Ms. Dooley, and we don't have to start talking about Bud, all right?
No, I don't want to talk about Bud, but I do take exception to the comment that no one's head is perfectly round. My son Justin's was when he was born.
Yeah, and my son, Jason J. Delmont, babies' heads are round.
Okay, great.
Just for the record, you know.
Yeah, I want to be on the record as well.
Okay, that's terrific.
Phil, when you blow people off like that, then you lose your train of thought because you go, oh, that's terrific. Then you don't know what you're saying.
Well, can I pick it up? I'll pick the narrative up. Margaret, is that all right?
Go ahead.
No, I'll run the show, thank you. The cosmetic teeth that you don't like this girl, Tina Freushing Brown, is that her name?
I think that was the name, or something close to it, yes.
All right. Well, you don't know her name. She's in your gal pal tier.
Yes, she is a gal pal, which is the opening tier of our circle of taste.
All right. She went to the store, I guess, and...
Yeah, well, what she did was she had... When they first moved in here, she had noticeably... crooked and discolored teeth. And, of course, I had already earmarked her for non-consideration for the Circle of Taste. They're very nice people, and we certainly do enjoy having them here. But I can't have that in the Circle of Taste.
Because of the crookedness.
Well, yeah, the teeth were crooked, and they had some cigarette staining. At that time, Steve?
Yeah, at that time, Bobby then did, she did then did, do, did, she did then do... Dooley, not Dooley as in D-O-O-L-E-Y.
Dooley as in D-U.
Yeah, Dooley as in D-U-L-Y. She then did, at that time, then Dooley ruled that Tina Freushing Brown could not be considered for admittance to the Circle of Taste or any of the three rungs because her teeth, and I had scribbled down, were jacked up. I should have probably written...
The fact that they were, the teeth were off and...
Okay, so this lady, and forgive me, Ms. Dooley, I'm sure you've heard this criticism before. I think you've heard it on our show. Your organization sounds extremely shallow.
Oh, here we go. This is great.
Well, Phil, I think I agree with Phil. You people sound...
Excuse me, you people? I'm not black.
I understand you're not black, but I agree with Phil that I believe you people, and I'll say that again...
Well, I don't...
Excuse me, I haven't finished talking, young lady. And when I am finished talking, then you will be... it will be by your leave to then talk.
By your what?
Just let him finish.
I agree with Mr. Hendry that your organization sounds like a very shallow group of women who put a higher value on the teeth and whether they're straight as opposed to the nicotine, as opposed to... other factors. Now, some of the finest people I've known in my life, and people that I would go to my grave defending, people who've been great for this country. Do you know that General George Patton had the most foul, black, ugly teeth you've ever seen in your life? Did you know that, young lady?
I don't know who he is, but I'm willing to believe that he's a great American.
He was one of the greatest generals, one of the greatest combat generals this country has ever had.
Was it in the Revolution War?
Get a load of that. He was in World War II.
Well.
And my wife, Caroline, who I love as dearly as any man can love a woman, her teeth are almost coal black. And yet I love her to pieces.
You're kidding.
The fact that I love her?
No, the coal black.
Oh, yeah. It runs in her family. Believe me, she visits the dentist... twice, at least twice a month, and uses the... I went and I got her that Crest toothpaste, you know, they say the American Dental Association?
Well, yeah, they've had that stuff for a long time.
Well, excuse me, I wasn't on board.
Oh, her teeth are black, though, huh?
Yes, I guess she doesn't get into the circle of taste, does she?
Well, if she's related to a prominent individual such as yourself, General, then we can certainly...
No, I don't think she'll be interested, thank you. The point that I... excuse me, that's Margaret who did that.
No, you did it.
Well, she gave me the grease. She gave... right there, see?
I gave him the high sign.
Are you done, General? Because I want to...
Yes, go ahead.
All right, Bobby, continue.
All right. Well, anyway, Tina Freushing-Brand, and those are very interesting stories and anecdotes, General. I do appreciate... General who?
I'm General Shaw.
No. The man who had the jacked-up teeth.
General George Patton.
Steve, did you know that?
Yeah, well, I didn't know about him having the crapped-out teeth, but I did know he's one of the great generals there's ever been.
Okay, so now we know General Patton was a great man and he had lousy teeth. So your friend or your gal pal there, Tina Freushing Brown, has bad teeth.
Well, she did. And she went and unbeknownst to myself and unbeknownst to the other women in the Circle of Taste Membership Council, that is the inner chamber, she went out and she bought some of those teeth that fit onto your regular teeth that you can purchase. Invisalign is one of the companies. I don't think they were the Invisalign teeth. I think it was, Steve?
Yeah, white and bright.
White and bright. But you fit them up into your regular teeth so they cover up how destroyed your real teeth are, and you have these beautiful white teeth. Well, I never would have known. I thought she'd gone in for dental work and had what we recommend in the Circle of Taste and the lower rungs, runway model. We recommend that you have all of the upper teeth taken out so that only metal posts are visible, and then put in the new capped teeth or the new teeth. In other words, we do recommend
to have the entire, all the teeth torn out.
We don't use the word torn out, but...
Well, you do have to have those teeth eventually demolished and removed, and for a period there are nothing but metal posts.
That is correct, yes. But we think it's good for our gals to walk around smiling with metal posts, because the look of horror that other people have teaches them what it's like to walk around with a jacked over... What happened, Steve? Why are you crying?
I'm just thinking about it.
You're thinking about what? Yeah, it caused Steve to cry. He was thinking about women smiling with nothing. I'm sorry.
Well, you are emotional?
Yes.
When you have that kind of work done, you have nothing but metal posts in your mouth until the doctor puts in the new teeth.
Right, but what we recommend for our gal pals, runway models, etc., is that you walk around for a period of 48 hours with nothing but the metal posts, so that when you smile, there is a look of terror on people that see it, and you know what it's like to... What did you say, Steve?
Yeah, show a grill, you know, to have a grill of horror.
To have a grill of horror.
Now, why do you... Why you feel that's necessary? Why?
Because I think it lets our gals know the other side of the coin. You know, there but for the grace of God, go I.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
Wow. All right. So did you think that she'd had this work done?
We thought she'd had the work done because she was only a gal pal, and we only require that you have the grill of horror if you are a runway model or a hostess.
All right. So that's the upper three?
No, the upper two. The top one is Circle of Taste.
All right.
It's sort of like football leagues in England.
Right, okay, so I understand that. We're going to get back here with Bobby Dooley and find out the upshot of the young lady from the Gal Pals.
Yes, Tina Freushing Brown is a gal pal. She went and got these fake teeth that the Invisalign style, only these were white and bright, and put them on, and Bobby discovered this. If it hadn't been for Bobby, they would have thought she'd gone out and actually had the real work done. They did not require her to walk around with the grill of horror because... She was only a gal. What are you doing, Phil?
I'm trying to imagine the grill of horror.
Well, she was only a gal pal.
All right. We'll be right back here with Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley as they talk about, do any of you out there wear these fake teeth? They're not fake teeth, but it's kind of like, what do you call it?
Well, I don't know what it is. I think it's terribly deceptive and horrific.
Well, I wouldn't put it that way, you know. I mean, it's they're a kind of a cosmetic teeth that you put on, and then you look like, you know, you've got nice teeth. So we'll be back with more of that here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Be sure to visit our online store and get yourself some Phil stuff. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com. And the U.S. serial killer Joseph Franklin, the white supremacist serial killer, convicted of murdering one man and wounding two others at a synagogue in 1977. He's also convicted of a series of other racially motivated murders. He has confessed to being the sniper who shot porn publisher Larry Flint. This guy has been granted a stay of execution because of a new drug that they use in the execution process. And so the big brave white supremacist murderer, he gets to, you know, live another day because the drug they use might be kind of, you know, maybe it's going to scare him a little too much and hurt him or whatever the hell his problem is. So we'll talk about this after the top of the hour. I got some other news to get to.
Well, you really like to just live dangerously, don't you?
Why is that?
Well, I mean,
you know, Mr. Henry, those are some pretty heavy people.
Oh, come on, will you, man? This guy's been on death row since God knows 30-plus years. They probably, who knows if they even remember who this guy is or care, and if they do, whatever. I mean, the guy is on the outside of any mainstream you want to talk about. He's a murderer. He's a freak. And I'm a big believer in the death penalty. I'm sorry. Big believer in the death penalty here, not because it is just punishment, not because it's a deterrent, not because... I believe because it is a safety issue. Having animals like this alive is dangerous. I don't give a damn if they're in prison. Doesn't make any difference to me. Having them alive is dangerous. It's dangerous wherever they are. Wherever they are. They could kill another inmate. They could kill a guard. They could get out. They could be granted some manna from heaven. A miracle can occur, and some dumbass parole board somewhere is going to give them, you know, the right to walk the streets again. I think these pieces of garbage ought to be put to death. I always have, and I always will. And I realize that I'm against the trend, and everybody in America is gradually, slowly but surely. But you know, when you read up on what some of these people have done, to stand outside of a prison and protest their execution. When you read of the murders they committed, you know, I tell you what, I don't know how you can do it. I couldn't. You're better people than me.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about, Phil, too. I've been outside of many prisons protesting the death penalty because it's wrong.
I know, but have you ever looked into the actual crimes that were committed by the scum that was being put to death?
And I don't like the word scum.
Have you ever looked into the crimes?
Don't, and I don't like being yelled at. Now, I'm belching as a form of protest. There you are drumming your fingers, too. You're screwing up every which way. If you want to have a dialogue with me...
Have you ever... You remember that guy, Oba Chandler?
That was the man they put to death in Florida. Yes, I was down there protesting that.
Yeah. Did you know what he did?
He committed a murder.
Committed a murder? He murdered a mother and her two daughters. Or a mother and her three daughters. You want to know how?
I don't care to hear how, no.
You just went down there and protested when they put that guy to death, but as far as you were concerned, he only killed one person.
It's the punishment that's bad. That's what I'm talking about.
You know, Phil, if I could say something.
Go ahead, Bobby.
Angels on Our Shoulders is our anti-death penalty organization, and the death penalty is really the target. When you try to tell us what it was that these murderers did, you're trying to influence our decision to go to the prisons and to protest in a way that is dignified and has dignity. And you're trying to undignify it by...
Yes, you're trying to undignify it by mixing in what they did. It...
Oh, well, I wouldn't want to do that.
See how sarcastic you are?
That's what he does, though. He's very sarcastic.
Okay. Well, then I won't tell you what Oba Chandler did, but you look it up someday, okay?
No, I don't think I will.
Oh, well, all right. You don't have to. You go ahead and do whatever you got to do. But it was a mother, and it was three daughters, and you look it up someday if you...
She already said she's not going to.
What about you, Ms. Dooley?
I am very busy.
You're too busy to look up and see what...
Phil, give your speeches somewhere else, all right? I feel very firm about this.
General?
What's that?
Never mind.
I'm sorry. I was enjoying the Nilla wafer because Bud gave me the banana pudding. Have you ever had that?
Yeah, I've had banana pudding.
Am I interrupting something?
Yeah, I'm doing a show.
All right, I'm sorry. What were you asking?
I was asking about... Never mind.
You were asking about... Never mind.
Like the banana pudding, General?
I think the banana pudding with the vanilla wafer, someone really ought to publicize this.
Yeah, they do, General. It's on the side of the vanilla wafer box.
Well, I'm not familiar.
Yeah.
So you're saying someone has?
Yeah. Banana pudding and vanilla wafers has been huge for years. It's right there on the box, and...
So you're calling me a dumbass?
Pretty much, yeah.
No, I'm not calling you a dumbass. I'm just saying that
vanilla?
All right, Bobby, let's get back to discussions here before we run out of time this hour on Tina Freushing Brown. She went out and got these teeth, and she didn't have her teeth torn out like you recommend and walk around for 2 days.
Oh, my God.
That was gross.
I'm sorry.
God, I'm hearing this. She didn't walk around for two, and then I heard, what was that?
I just started laughing.
What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at the idea of the grill of horror. Are you kidding?
No, we are not kidding, Mr. Henry. And it is the grill of horror. If you have your teeth removed one at a time, and all that's left are the metal posts upon which will be put eventually the new bridge work, and you smile... and there may be some residual bleeding of the gums, it can put the fear of hell into any United States Marine, any man who has endured and survived a war. That's how utterly horrific and inspiring of sheer terror it is. And yet, we feel that it's good for the girls because it reminds them of what they could have been had they been born into a different house, you know.
Yeah, with different parents.
Boy, that's even worse because...
Do we have to talk about this? I mean...
All right, I'm sorry.
Phil likes to get into the... dig into it. We don't have time.
I'll decide whether we have time. And you saying that, aren't you lucky you were born into a different family, that pretty much puts the capper on where you're coming from. You have no control over your own life. You're just lucky to have been born into a family where they can afford to have your teeth ripped out.
Boy, that sounds gruesome.
It's not, General. Mr. Henry's...
Yeah, Mr. Henry's just making it worse.
Well, Phil, I really feel you are. In any event, if I can finish...
Go on.
Tina had... she went and she had these fake teeth. And someone said to me, did you know that Tina had the fake teeth? So I said, what are you talking about? I thought she went and had the teeth... demolished as we recommend. And they said, you didn't know. I said, no, you don't. We don't look at the metal posts and the grill of horror until they are a runway model. And they said, well, you better check some of the joke shops and some of the costume stores.
Yeah, that would be the first place to check.
Are you telling me you thought she went to a costume store to get fake teeth?
That was the first thing I thought, because that she's going to go out and actually buy some of these cosmetic teeth from a pharmacy. I just didn't think she was bright enough. After all, she is a gal pal, and those are not the brightest bulbs in the tree. I went over to Mike's Jokes. I went over to the Hobson Hobby and Art. We went to Mike's Hobby and Art. We went over to Tina's Jokes and More. I said, did you sell anyone fake wax teeth? They said, yes, we sell them all the time. I said, did you sell any fake wax teeth to any gals for from Western Estates, and they said, oh, those are the gals, yeah. Generally, you can tell they are our gals because they're driving a high-end car.
Uh-huh.
And what does uh-huh mean?
Nothing. I'm following.
In any event, I said, did you sell any wax teeth to a gal in a Mercedes? They said, yes, we did. So I immediately...
Oh, my God. So she did not get them from the pharmacy?
No, she did not. I went over to CVS. I said, did any gal walk in here in a pantsuit wearing 3-inch heels with a lot of baubles and bangles hanging around her neck, you know, and buy some of the cosmetic teeth? And they said no. So I found out that not only did she not have the grill of horror, she went and bought wax teeth.
Now, how did you know that she was wearing fake teeth other than the obviousness of seeing wax teeth?
Well, she's walking around going, yee. She was smiling too much. She was smiling far beyond how she'd ever smiled before.
But wouldn't you be smiling a lot if you had the grill of horror, even though you hadn't seen that?
Well, I don't know. It was suspiciously short. From the last time I'd seen Tina, when she had really brown and just jacked over teeth. I mean, talk about corn on the cob at arm's length through a chain link fence. This was nuts.
Yeah, that's generally a good rule of thumb, too.
Well, if you're talking about corn on the cob at arm's length, can I speak?
Go ahead.
If you're talking about corn on the cob at arm's length through a chain link fence, that was what we used in the Army to see whether anyone needed to apply to the orthodontist and get some good government dental care. And we generally did that after any kind of a mission or any kind of a combat operation because we figured the men who'd survived, they may want to have their teeth straightened as opposed to going into combat or going out on a mission where you know you could take a rocket to the face, and if nothing else, you don't have a mouth left, you know.
Oh, my God. Well...
Oh. Well, Phil, that's the reality of it. All right, so in any event...
In any event, I said, you're smiling an awful lot, Tina, and she's going, what? And I said, look at you, you're grinning too much, and I reached in right at that moment and pulled on the teeth, and they came, it was like they stretched, you know?
Because they were wax.
Because they were wax. And I go, look at that. And they were stretched and all weird-looking. And I go, those are wax teeth. And she started chewing on them and tried to swallow them and said, no, they're not. No, they're not.
All right, we'll be back with more of this fascinating story.
Well, if you don't like the story, Phil.
It's fine. With Bobby Dooley, as she busts one of her gal pals, the lowest rung of a Circle of Taste membership, not even the lower rocker panel that says of taste, and she busts her for wearing wax teeth as opposed to going out and getting very expensive dental work done, which includes the grill of horror. That is when all of your teeth have been, quote, demolished, and all that's left are the metal posts, so that when you smile, you scare people. I don't know. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show to hear the end of this ridiculous tale. The Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Just a final few seconds here with Bobby Dooley as we continue. What happened there? Oh, did it just all of a sudden stop, bud?
Yeah, you hit the button.
I didn't hit any button. I hit, the keyboard?
Yeah.
Sorry. Bobby Dooley with us here from Western Estates. So the upshot, Bobby, on this young lady who had the wax teeth, has she been dismissed from her gal pal status, or what's going on?
Well, Phil, I hear a little bit of sarcasm in your voice there.
Yeah, there's a little bit.
And that's okay. You don't understand. We do have an image here. If you're going to be a gal pal, if you're going to be a member of the Circle of Taste, if you're going to be a member of the of this very august group of young ladies who are women, who are mothers, yes, who we like to think are influential when it comes to fashion and style, and then you walk around with these teeth that, as you said, I didn't. You said it. I didn't. You could eat at arm's length through a chain link fence, corn on the cob.
No, I didn't. No, you said that.
I said through a picket fence. Goodbye.
Did she hang up because she knew we were coming to the end of the hour?
Do you want me to call her back?
Yes, call her back.
Phil, you've been sitting here all hour long, stifling laughs.
You know, they're right, Phil. You've been giggling and guffawing like a schoolboy when you should listen to the... Now, I agree with you. There's no question in my mind that there is a shallowness to these women that needs to be pointed out. Nonetheless, can I get...
More banana pudding?
Yes. Nonetheless.
What is Bud, like, running for banana pudding for you? And
yes, the young man is...
I'm seeing to the general's needs.
That is all, Dickman.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Bud, you're not in the Army, man, okay?
Never mind.
May I finish?
Go ahead.
Yes, and I happen to like the banana pudding. Is there something wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with it, sir. I'm just trying to move the show content along as opposed to people getting banana pudding, getting vanilla wafers, people getting sidetracked in a million different ways, you know.
You know what? I'll just ignore that outburst.
It wasn't an outburst. You asked me a question.
The point that I'm making is that I agree with you that these young women should not be concentrating so much on how messed up their teeth are. There are men like me out there and other men that love their women regardless of whether they... And I told you, my wife's teeth are black, black as coal. And the first 3 years of our marriage, I finally said to her, and I said it with great love because I love her...
How long have you been married?
We've been married 40 years. 40 years.
Okay.
And I married Caroline right after I got back from Vietnam, as a matter of fact. But I said to her... are you brushing your teeth? I'm just trying to cover all bases here. And she said, why do you ask? I said, because your teeth are coal black. She said, well, that's just runs in my family. I said, all right, enough said. And that's the end of it.
Well, all right. I mean, if you can live with that, and there's not a dental problem there.
No, no, no. She gets checkups, as I say, very frequently.
Black teeth.
Well, Margaret, if I were you, I wouldn't talk.
Excuse me?
Well, you're the one that smokes the Roytans, and I can see a little bit of residual yellowing right here. Just go, ee. Just please do that.
Ee?
Yep, that's woo.
Woo! Oh, my ass. My teeth are shimmering white, I can assure you.
All right, if white is now yellow, you got it.
Okay. Can we not talk about this, please? Because it's very personal, and it can be extremely insulting, and we're all done, you know.
Speaking of that, Phil, why don't you get that tooth cap you've got there? You've got the most crooked-ass smile I've ever seen.
Yeah, Mr. Henry.
Okay. You know, it happens to be a tooth that was chipped. Yeah, I probably ought to get it capped. All right. Thank you very much, Ms. Dooley. That was just fantastic. Now, we are...
You're lying. It wasn't.
No, it actually was very, very interesting. It was. I never knew that a homeowners association president, and Bobby Dooley's gotten away with all kinds of things, but I never knew that she could actually demand of people to have their teeth, quote, demolished with metal posts and the whole thing. Good luck with that Circle of Taste chick, whatever her name is.
Tina Freushing Brown. I did see a picture of her. She's a beautiful girl, but her teeth are all, you know, just...
Yeah, kind of crooked and everything.
Okay, fine. A U.S. federal judge has granted a stay of execution to a white supremacist serial killer and legal challenges over the use of a new drug in the execution process. You know anything that's interesting about this guy? This guy shot Larry Flint as some kind of what people thought was a statement about Larry Flint as a publisher of supposed pornographic or adult literature. And Larry Flint is shot by this man and paralyzed, put in a wheelchair. And the statement is, well, you may not agree with the method, but this is what happens when you're a porn publisher, you know. And then people on the other side saying this is an absolute and utter disgrace that anyone in our country would be targeted for this kind of violence expressing their opinion. It turns out the guy that shot Larry Flint wasn't really making any political statement at all. The guy's a scum-sucking serial killer. He's just a degenerate psychopath. You see?
Well, and you don't think a psychopath has opinions?
Yeah, they certainly do. Then their opinion all has to do with themselves. Where they're going to eat, who they're going to kill next, where they're going to have sex next, who they're going to have sex with. Who are they going to kidnap? What clothes are they going to wear? What car are they going to steal? I mean, yeah, they've got opinions, all right, and it has absolutely nothing to do with society at large. They could care less about society at large. It has everything to do with themselves. So the ruling comes hours before Judge Joseph Franklin was due to be put to death in Missouri. Franklin, 63 years of age, was sentenced to death for killing one man and wounding two others outside a synagogue in 1977. Fantastic. Franklin also confessed to being the sniper who shot porn publisher Larry Flint in 1978, leaving him partially paralyzed. The BBC's Adam Lewis in Washington said that in the past 2 years, U.S. and European drug manufacturers have sought to distance themselves from executions, cutting off supplies and leaving U.S. states that use the death penalty scrambling for alternatives. Okay, go back to the electric chair. I could, you know.
Well, they're not going to do that, Phil, because that's cruel and unusual.
It's cruel, maybe. It ain't unusual. I mean, what's unusual about it? We've been doing it for a long time. So...
You're just angry.
I'm not angry. I'm not angry. I'm disappointed that we haven't really looked into this, and I have my reasons for that as well. All right, it's world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're going to take a break. We'll be back next hour. I'll give you those reasons if you want.
Like what?
For instance, they always talk about innocent people being put to death. How many people have died when a killer was let out of prison and murdered again? Have they counted up those numbers? I'm just wondering.
Say that again.
Yeah, I'll say it on the other side. World famous Phil Hendry Show.